Happy Monday, everybody. I'm Larry Jacobs, and it is Monday, October 12th, 2020. Welcome to today's edition of Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio. We got a nice show for you today, nice especially for me because I love talking about American history. I also love talking about equity, more on that in a second, but I was a social studies teacher for so many years. I love history. And today we're going to talk with a gentleman named Pat Rickards, who is the founder and chief executive officer, this is going to be so interesting, of the Driving Force Institute for Public Engagement, with a whole new way, I'll say it that way, he'll explain it better, method, however you want to say that, of teaching American history, okay, and a great website, we'll talk all about it in just a few minutes, but it's going to be important. You know, change is in the air. We got the pandemic, but that has forced change, and if we look on it as an opportunity and take all these lousy lemons, okay, and turn it into some kind of lemonade, maybe we'll be better off in the end. I hope we come out the other end looking good. So Pat will be with us in just a second. Let me just do a little homework with you guys first. You know that we tweet over at EduTalk Radio, all right? And we Twitter at EduTalk Radio. There we go. We link in at Larry Jacobs. That's me. All right. And then we do Facebook at Larry Jacobs and Education Talk Radio. And you can friend us, follow us, whatever you want to do, link with us in any of those places. We archive all our shows over at ace-ed.org, ace-ed.org, which is the initialization of our consortium, the American Consortium for Equity in Education, ace-ed.org. And if you go over there, you'll not only see everything we're doing with equity, including our online journal, which is called Equity in Access, but also you will see big icon for Education Talk Radio podcast. And if you click through on that, it'll take you right over to our schedule for the week, which we always change on Saturdays. And also, if you scroll down a little bit, excuse me, all the archive shows that we have from last week, and then we have a big icon over there for archive shows that go back amazingly to 2011, and even more amazingly, people still listen to those old shows, which never ceases to amaze me, all at ace-ed.org. And of course, as an educator, we invite you for free, of course, to join our consortium, read and enjoy our magazine, etc. Okay, we're trying to do everything we can for equity over at ace-ed.org. And I'm going to ask my guest to explain what he does rather than have me explain it on a Monday morning. Good morning, Patrick Rickards. It's Larry here.
Good morning, Larry. Thanks for having me.
Thank you, buddy. You're welcome here anytime. I'm a history buff, okay? And I used to teach social studies, so this is all, will be the first of many visits, for goodness sakes. All right. Are you out in California?
I am not. I'm in New Jersey.
Oh, good. Okay, because I was worried. By the way, I got to thank my friend Stacy Finkel for setting me up with today's show with Patrick. And I saw that you guys were involved with the University of Southern California, and I was concerned that you had gotten up at 6 in the morning. I'm glad you didn't, okay? In New Jersey, it's 9 a.m., just like it is here in Maine, right?
It is indeed, although I would have gotten up for you at 6 a.m. Don't worry about it.
Well, I would have appreciated that, but for anybody who's thinking of doing that, I'm always happy to do a later show for my West Coast guests. Patrick, talk about what you're doing here. You're the founder and chief executive officer. I do love this, but I want you to explain it better than I can, of the Driving Force Institute for Public Engagement. And the website, if I may, is drivingforceinstitute.org. And this is worth going over and checking out, because everything's changing these days, and it's time we did look at it changing social studies and history and all that sort of thing. Patrick, you're on. Tell me what's going on. Where'd you get your passion for American history? Are you an ex-social studies teacher? Start at the beginning here.
Sure. I am not an ex-social studies teacher, but I am the son of a presidential historian. And so I grew up, and I thought this is how every kid grew up, sitting around the kitchen table at night. And, you know, hearing about my father's research, discussing what he was teaching in his own classes, and, you know, realize that's not how most folks tend to grow up in this country these days.
That is true. Where'd your dad teach? And what is his name? I apologize for not knowing that.
So my father is Michael Rickards. He has taught and has been an administrator really across the country. He started up at Buffalo State. He was then dean at UMass Boston. He was provost at Hunter College in New York City, and then he was president of St. John's College in Santa Fe. Shepherd University in West Virginia and finished out his higher ed career at Fitchburg State in Massachusetts.
You're kidding. We have friends at Fitchburg State. Okay. I bet they know each other.
I bet you they do.
I bet you they do. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about that later. That's really cool. Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Of course, why he left Santa Fe to go to Fitchburg, Mass. That alone is worth a whole podcast because we have to talk about that.
It is indeed.
That is a challenge of decision making, I have to tell you. But we'll just move on from that. You and I will talk privately about my friends at Fitchburg, and that's really, really interesting. It's cool that you grew up that way. I don't know many people who have. So you've got. Are you a historian? What's your background?
I am not. From my upbringing, I'm a higher ed brat. I actually started off working on Capitol Hill. After I had graduated from the University of Virginia. And from there, went into education from a policy and consulting side.
Well, how interesting.
It's been a fun ride. I spent time as chief of staff for the National Reading Panel. Worked in STEM. I spent the last 6 years working with Arthur Levine, the former president of Teachers College at Columbia, as we built a new grad school up in Boston. So it's been an interesting educational ride, that's for sure.
Boy, it sure is. And by the way, I have to say, you know, so often when I talk to folks about history, I'm talking to people who have that's their only background is in history. And when you said STEM and reading and all that, because everything is interdisciplinary, I have to say that. And I'm saying you bring that to the table when we're talking about history, and I think that's very important, if I may. All right. So you're passionate about this. Dad was a presidential historian, a college administrator. Okay. Where did this idea? And you call it untold and driving. You have to give me the name of it exactly, because I know it's Driving Force Institute, but I'm trying to figure where the word untold comes in. So go ahead, Driving Force Institute.
We are the Driving Force Institute, and we just launched what we call our Untold Education Series.
Thank you.
And this was really born. A couple of years ago, I did a national survey of 41,000 residents in the United States, so samples in all 50 states plus the District of Columbia. And what we found is something that most educators already know, and that is as adults, we just don't know our history. We gave them 20 questions that were part of the practice test for the U.S. citizenship exam. And found that fewer than 40% could actually pass the test, get 12 of 20 questions correct. And the numbers.
By the way, I know that's I don't mean to jump your survey, but that lack of knowledge is fairly common. Most people can't even name the three branches of government. I don't mean to interrupt. Go ahead. Yeah, it's just a
no. You're absolutely right. Yeah. And what we found, in looking at the data, is really seeing that the younger you were, the worse you did. Seeing that women did more poorly than men did on the survey. Seeing that people of color did more poorly than whites did. And it came down to really an understanding that at the end of the day, there was a disconnect. And so, last year I did a survey of 1,000 high school students to get their perceptions about history. This is not quizzing them on facts and figures and dates and battles. But this was just to get their sense. And what you found very quickly is that for most learners today, they find history to be both boring and irrelevant. You were talking about equity earlier. I think to many, the way history is taught in a typical K-12 classroom today is simply through the lens of dead white male landowners.
I won't argue that.
And for many of today's learners, they don't see the value. And so that's where Untold really came about is, we were looking at this and I stumbled across, this was pre-corona, stumbled across some data that found that the average Gen Zer, the average Generation Alpha student spends about 2 hours a day on YouTube. And while they're on YouTube, they are watching about 63 unique segments.
Wow.
And I went out and I started talking to high school teachers about how they were using video.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some, it's not surprising, the districts were telling them to go ahead and cut up Ken Burns documentaries and make it work.
Yep.
But I talked to some teachers that were just so passionate, like, look, what we're doing is I'm spending time at night and I'm taking drunken history video segments And I'm trying to remove the alcohol, and I'm trying to remove the bad language, and it's just making it a little more interesting for my kids.
Right, right. It humanizes it. I just say that, drunk history aside, it humanizes it.
Very much so. And I think, you know, the whole point of this, Larry, is not to figure out, you know, how do we get kids to know enough facts about history so they can pass a trivia night test.
Yeah.
It really is, you know, how do we start getting more learners to think like historians, to ask, as you were talking about, ask the critical questions, you know, to really probe, to push back, to do, you know, to understand how history is fitting into all of the other subjects that they're working
on.
So that's what we're trying to do. Yeah, these are series about 2-minute videos. And what we're trying to do is we're trying to tell moments in history, moments in history, people, artifacts that today's learners may not have learned about in school, that we hope that they're going to find interesting. And if nothing else, we want them to see these stories and begin to wonder why they didn't learn it in class and
why
are they not learning in class.
Well, you said that at the beginning, you know, and it's the old story, the winners write the history. Okay, and it's the old story, and there were so many, there were too many diverse groups that we have ignored over the years, and I always bring up, you know, this is my classic line, we call it, after the Roman Empire, the Dark Ages, all right, but the fact of the matter is, they were dark in Europe, they were not dark in Asia, okay, they were brightly lit in Asia, and we never even talk about that. Okay, and you know, the old story, the reason why the Huns and everybody stopped at Romania instead of conquering Europe is because there was no reason to go further. There was nothing there. All right, but why should I lose more men when there's no reason here? There's nothing. All right, and my point is, again, okay, we are Eurocentric and all that, and we have to look at it a different way. But I have to ask you, by the way, that's my philosophy. I don't know whether you agree. You're welcome to argue with me on that. Okay, I don't mean to jump the gun on you there, Patrick. But my point is, I wanted to ask you, you keep saying, and you've used this phrase, today's learners. When you say that, who are, in your mind, who are today's learners? And that's a key question.
Sure. So right now, our work is focusing on high school students.
Okay.
But we're creating content that can be used, particularly as folks are getting older. You know, we see this as the sort of content that if you're a traditional or even an untraditional college student, this is something that is of value. I have to tell you, back in the spring, I went in our local community. Some of our students, high school students, had put together a community rally around the Black Lives Matter issue. And you had these students, and they got up, and I was amazed. This was right before we were getting ready to begin to release these videos. And they started talking about how, and I'm fortunate enough to live in a fairly highly resourced school district. And these students were complaining is the wrong word. These students were raising the attention to the fact that even how we do Black History Month is shorting them. That, you know, at this point, they're in high school. There are only so many years they can spend their February learning about Martin Luther King.
And
it was one of those. It's one of those funny things. I mean, one of the videos we've done, and we've got about 50 videos that we've released already. We're going to have another 100 videos plus lesson plans and PD for teachers that's going to be released over this school year. But I look, and one of the videos that we produced early on was a story about a woman named Madame Queenie. And most people would never have heard of her. And it was one of those, and she was a New York gangster at a time when you didn't have a lot of women gangsters. African-American woman.
Wow.
But her importance to history is she recognized living in New York City at that time, most of the banks in New York would not take Black money, no matter how successful the businesses were. And she created a banking system for Black New York City.
Wow.
That's a story.
What year are we talking about?
This is we're talking about early 1900s.
Wow. So are you watching the TV show Fargo this season?
I haven't started yet, no.
Okay, that's a great season. Chris Rock is the star. There's a lot of African-American actors in it. And their point, it takes place in Kansas City. And, of course, it's fictional. But the point is that they've developed an idea for, like, a Visa card, okay, for Black people because they nobody will take their money. Okay, yeah. it's that simple. Okay, and so they got an idea for a Visa card. That's what the basic idea is. They're going to all the white banks and we're turning them down. Same type of thing. That's fictional, of course. Your story isn't. And you know, I wrote this down as you were saying that. What history is about is the perspective. All right, and we got to put a different perspective on it and make it different. I got to tell you, this is really a good idea. Can you give me? Is there a Madam Queenie video? Let's look at that for a second. Okay, when you do a video, it's 2-3 minutes long, as you said. Give us an example of one. Give us an example of one.
So I think all of these videos, as I said, what we try to do is we're trying to use animation. We're trying to make this so that you have a storyteller I have to tell you, we spend so much time having to work and rework the animation because we want to make sure it's right for the time period. We want to make sure that it actually affects what we're trying to do. But, you know, go in and really tell, you know, we have our video producers that are really putting together the storyboards, those stories that we think are really important. And we're using a terrific company called Makematic that helps us with that.
Yeah, I saw that mentioned, yeah. Cool.
Yeah, and then what we do is, you know, we write out the scripts, and everything gets vetted by historians, and that's one of the things that our friends at University of Southern California are helping with. Really trying to make sure that whatever we put forward has to be 100% accurate.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we're trying to do, and what we do is, you know, looking at, you know, we're trying to break it down because everybody likes to learn in different ways. And so we have, you know, some of the more traditional moments in history. We have some of the, you know, America Explained. We have the hidden stories like Madam Queenie that I was telling you about. We have artifacts that make America. Some of the things that we might not have learned, you know, how we made the first spacesuit, for instance. What we're also doing is we are pulling speeches from their era and putting them out there. So often we don't hear, and I think that's what becomes so important, is hearing it, not just reading the text of a speech.
Good point. That's
so,
a
you
very
know, hearing
good point.
Barbara Jordan. Yeah, hearing Barbara Jordan during the Nixon impeachment, you know, or even hearing, you know, the Cross of Gold speech, is obviously, and those sorts of things, being able to go back and tell these stories, and it really becomes powerful. It's funny, I did focus groups with some kids in New York City last year. And, you know, was talking to a high school girl, you know, African-American, who history was not her thing. And as we were talking about it, you know, she could not see at all why there was any value in her learning about FDR. And then after we started talking about things and she learned that, you know, FDR was responsible for Social Security and Medicare and all the programs that her grandmother depended on. Then she started seeing there was some relevance to learning that history. There was some value to it. You know, those are the sorts of things. I mean, as I said, we really want to use this. This is anybody who has a teen or a tween child knows that YouTube is wonderful for sending them down rabbit holes. And that's what we're trying to do. Not to send them down a YouTube rabbit hole, but to really send them down a critical thinking rabbit hole.
That's a great point.
To ask why we're not getting, you know, why didn't I learn that in class? What else did I not learn about this era or about this person or about these sorts of things? And really have them start asking those critical questions.
I think that's great. I think that's great. Are you dealing strictly with American history?
Right now we're starting with American history. And even then, you know, we're trying to figure out, you know, how do you tell stories that are of national importance? But right now, we're also, you know, as part of this work now, we're starting to go into a professional development pilot with the state of Kentucky.
Good.
And there,
good.
It's,
they have good education.
And so there, we're looking at, some specific videos about state and local history to that. And as part of that, you know, what we're doing is we're building for them a professional development program on for social studies teachers on how to effectively use video in other mediums.
Oh, that's fantastic.
We'll
are you working with school
a
librarians as well? Patrick, are you working with school librarians as well? And I'll tell you why I'm saying that, because they are the media mavens, okay, of every school district. Okay, the school librarians. Are you working with them at all? I'm happy to introduce you to that group if you don't know them.
I would love the introduction. We have not reached out to them yet.
I will make that a point today, okay? I'll introduce you to the to the executive director of the American Association of School Librarians, who is Sylvia Knight, who's wonderful. Okay, I'll make that introduction today via email.
Great.
Does that sound good? All right?
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah, in fact, I need your email. I don't have your email. I just realized that.
I'll send it to
Stacey,
you.
Stacy, my friend Stacy did not put it on there. I'm at EdgeTalk. Stacy, what's wrong with you? I know you're listening. I'm at EdgeTalkLarry at gmail.com. EdgeTalkLarry at gmail.com. EdgeTalkLarry. Okay? And you'll send that to me.
I will make sure you get mine today.
Do that, Patrick, because I do want to follow up on this. This is really, really, really good stuff. You know, I found it interesting. You talk about underrepresented groups and going down a rabbit hole of history, and I just realized that today we're talking on Columbus Day, Indigenous Peoples Day. That little statement alone says it all. Okay? That says it all. All right? Columbus Day.
It does.
Yeah.
And there are some Native American history titles that we've begun to produce that start looking at that. And you know, even right now we're in the middle of production of something that we can use for Thanksgiving I think may tell a little bit of a different story than the pilgrim story that many of us have learned when we were in school ourselves.
I think that story could use a little bit of retelling. It really could.
Yeah,
and by the way, I just read somewhere. Where the hell did I read it? That the first actual Thanksgiving of Europeans and Indians took place, I believe, in what is now Texas, okay, and had to do
really?
Down there with Spaniards. I just read that somewhere. Now, where, I have no idea, but I just read it somewhere, okay? And I think it was an accurate, because it happened like in 1583 or something, some crazy year like that, okay? Just so you know. I can't remember where I read it, but it was somewhere. You know, I know you got your stuff together. I want you to just talk about, you mentioned them a few minutes ago, your friends over at USC, University of Southern California. Who's involved with all this?
Sure. So I mean, we're working with a center at USC right now that really does a fantastic job in terms of, this is the Center for Engagement-Driven Global Education. Liz Fogel there, she does just a tremendous job in connecting with teachers, but also in understanding this media world that we're all living in. I think as you look at that, you know, really tapping into from her experiences, you know, she has a doctorate, she has also worked in the private sector for folks like Disney, and really understands how to communicate what can be complex issues in a way that makes sense. And I think USC has been great in making sure that we're working with the right, teachers and academics across the country, so that you don't have just sort of one geographical viewpoint that is coming into play here.
That's very important. And as you go across the country, you know, we say across the country, but the country is different place to place to place. And that's good. Okay, that's not necessarily bad. That's good. Okay, and people have their own views on this thing, and we can get people involved and digging deeper. It's going to be great. And I want to just go back to what you said at the very beginning. This whole thing, because of the USC name, the whole thing, and I love this, is about engagement. Okay, you're trying to engage, if I may, students. I was going to say kids, but we're not talking about kids. We're talking about high school and up. We're trying to engage people in history, and I loved your line, pushing them down a rabbit hole of history. Okay, and have them go further and further and in, see that there's a zillion angles to every story, and what we say, you know, one day could be different the next, I got to say. It's unbelievable, and it depends. The classic example, of course, we teach the Civil War in the North, and they teach the War for Southern Independence in the South. Okay, it's that simple. Okay, and it never was a civil war, by the way. They never wanted to. You know that they never wanted to put a new government into Washington. There was never a civil war. That would have been the definition of a civil war. All right, that's all I have to say on that subject. Am I bothering you with
history
stuff?
I had a college professor who taught me for an entire semester, and he would only use the phrase "the War of Northern Aggression."
There you go, War of Northern Aggression, War of Southern Independence, doesn't matter. The point is, it was not a civil war. They were never trying to replace the government in Washington, okay? That, I don't know, well, we can call it what we want. On all of this, again, drivingforceinstitute.org, everybody, where are you now on this? In other words, teachers are listening now from all over the country, okay?
Right.
Where are you now on this? Because
so
teachers get in touch with you? What's going on? Yeah.
They can. They can reach out to us. You know, all over the summer, we began to release videos. As I said, we got about 50 videos that are all available both on untoldhistory.org or available through our Untold EDU YouTube channel. It's the same video content. And what we're doing now, everything is free. All of this has been developed open source. Then starting later this fall, our plan is every week now we're going to release three new videos. With those videos will be some teacher guides and such that will accompany them. So, I think, Larry, as you put it at the beginning of this show, the world's changed a lot in the last 8 months. And when we first envisioned this a year ago, it really was this idea that, how do we create videos for high school students that they're going to use in their free time? And instead, we've now pivoted in realizing that instead there is great value to making this video available. So that if you are a teacher, and this is why it's now focused on the educators, if you're a teacher, how do you make this available in your traditional classroom, in your hybrid classroom, in your online classroom, so that you can make this really so we can help history come alive just a little bit. You were asking about world history. My son is now a ninth grader in high school. I just started high school, but when he was an eighth grader during the whole lockdown this spring.
Yeah,
I was sitting there, and I'm listening to Kim as he's watching world history videos on the couch as part of his class. And the problem with those is they were so disconnected from young people. And I don't fault the teachers. Teachers have to use what's given to them.
Yeah, that's right.
But you had, essentially it sounded like it was a BBC video. And I thought, great. I went over to go look at what the visual was that he was watching. He was literally watching the words on the screen as they were being spoken. That's not how you engage today's learners. I mean, we all know how different today's kids are when it comes to learning, and some have to see it, some have to read it, some have to hear it. We all know how different they are. And so what we're trying to do is make sure that we're addressing that too.
Yeah, and they are. And, I'll bring up again what I brought up at the beginning. When we do something like this and really take these little bits of American history and make them engaging to all students, regardless of gender, regardless of race, regardless of socioeconomic status. And you really have to be able to take those things into consideration and go down that rabbit hole for yourself. Okay. It's all about equity. It's all about equity. Okay. And giving kids something to engage them, no matter who that kid is. All right, it's that simple.
I think you're absolutely right, Larry. And I think it's that recognition that people who looked like you, people who come from family backgrounds like yours, played a role in our history.
Yes, that is
right. We have to be able to see ourselves in what we're teaching.
That's exactly right, and that's for all kids. That's for all kids, and that's what equity is. Okay, that's what it is. It's taking that particular student and saying, what do they need? Okay, and so and that's the way you should position this, because equity is a key word right now these days, Patrick. It really is. Equity is the big word. Okay, go see what we're doing over at, join our consortium over at ace-ed.org. It's all free.
I will.
Yeah, we'd love to have you.
We'd
love to have you write some stuff on this. This is really cool.
Yeah, I would be honored. And I think that becomes the real value to this. And particularly,
I can bestow that.
I'm
the publisher and the president of that. I can bestow that honor on you if you wish.
All right, wonderful.
I can bestow that. I am a bestower.
But I think, we look at how poorly resourced so many classrooms are in this country.
Unbelievable.
And that becomes the beauty of this, is everything we're doing is free. We don't need to buy $100 textbooks for our kids to teach some of this. And every single video that we're doing is being optimized for their phone. It doesn't require them to have a Chromebook or a laptop.
That's great. That's great. It's a big article about a lack of laptops in today's New York Times, by the way. Now, some school districts can get them for every kid, and others can't. Welcome to the world of equity. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
It's that inequality, I might add, two separate words. Patrick, this is great. Driving Force Institute, but again, for high school and up, right? We're not talking about middle school?
For now, we're just focusing on high school, but hopefully we're going to be doing middle school work soon.
Okay, cool. And one other thing I wanted to ask you, I work closely with NCSS, the National Council for the Social Studies. Do you know folks there?
We do. We've been talking to them about how we might be able to collaborate this school year.
Oh, good. good. And Larry Paska is a good friend of mine. He's their executive director. In fact, they were just on last week. Okay, but I wanted to make sure you knew, A, of them or knew them well so that we could institute that. And I'll send, again, anybody can write me, edutalklarry@gmail.com. All right, and send me, and I'll introduce you to Sylvia over at Sylvia Knight Norton. Did I say Sylvia Knight before? Sylvia Norton over at AASL. Okay.
Great. I look forward to it.
Okay. So get in touch with me. I don't have your email, so it's on your plate now, Patrick. Okay.
You got it.
Okay, my friend. This is really great. I really love what you're doing here. Okay, and we can do more shows, and I'm going to get you writing for us about American history and equity. Would you do – oh, one other person I want. Do you know a woman named Goldie Muhammad?
I do not.
Well, you will adore Goldie Muhammad, okay, based on what you're telling me.
Okay.
All right. Goldie is a professor down at Georgia State. She's one of the shining stars of equity and education, particularly in African-American history and literacy. She's brilliant. You'll love her. I'll introduce
her. I look forward to meeting her.
Goldie's the best. Okay? And thousands of educators will tell you that. Her book is called, if you want to look it up, Cultivating Genius.
Okay.
And she's Goldie something else is all I can tell you. Okay? But I'll send you all this. So I'll look for an email from you. Patrick, this is fantastic stuff. Okay? Driving Force Institute, everybody.org. Thanks, Patrick. We'll do more.
Thanks, Bud. I appreciate it.
My pleasure. Talk to you later. Bye.
Hi.
Patrick Rickards, everybody, drivingforceinstitute.org. You need to know more? No, you don't. If you're involved in history, social studies education, please check it out. This is really good stuff. All right, drivingforceinstitute.org. We'll archive over at ace-ed.org. Join our consortium. It's good stuff. We're worried about equity. We're concerned. We're trying to find solutions. We need your help. Please join in. My name's Larry Jacobs. This is Pre-K-12 Education Talk Radio on Indigenous Peoples Day, not Columbus Day. All right? Think of everybody these days. Okay? Thanks for listening.